If you've been searching for a way to start making real money from home so that you can have the freedom to be home with your kids, but you have absolutely no idea where to start, this episode is for you. Today's guest is an absolute powerhouse of knowledge in helping moms bring in income from home by using the gifts and abilities they already have and without building a personal brand. Michaela Quinn is our guest today, and she has helped over 2,000 moms start, grow, and scale their own freelance business, which in turn gives them the opportunity to earn an income while also never missing a soccer practice or a doctor's appointment. She created an online course and community that gives corporate moms, stay-at-home moms, and everyone in between the step-by-step guide to financial freedom without having to sell an MLM product to friends and family. Can I get an amen? If you've been feeling this tension, this struggle of wanting to be home, if you're working right now and you feel the pull to be home with your kids, but you're struggling to find a way to still bring in income for your family, I would highly, highly encourage you to lean in, be a sponge, and soak in everything that Michaela is teaching us today, because it is pure gold, and I know you're going to walk away better. So let's get into today's episode. Hey mama, I'm Jenna, and you're listening to the Joy-Filled Podcast. I'm here to help stay-at-home moms thrive by equipping you with tools to help you acknowledge and embrace your season and encourage you to bring joy back into your motherhood. You'll walk away with everything you need to truly experience the fullness of joy in this beautiful season of raising babies at home. So reheat or refill wherever you're at in your day, your coffee, and let's live joy-filled together. Michaela, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. I am so thrilled for this conversation. I think it's just going to help a lot of women. Tell us about you. What do we need to know about Michaela?
Yeah. Hi, Jenna. Well, first of all, thank you so much for letting me come on. I am so pumped as well. But in a quick nutshell, my name is Michaela Quinn. I am a mom to 5 sweet kiddos. My oldest is 7, almost 8. So, and my youngest is almost 1. And I'm just like, I know he'll be 1 in 4 weeks. And I'm just like, not okay. but I've been pregnant or nursing my entire marriage. We got pregnant like pretty much wedding night.
Wow.
So yeah, I'm sad to not be having a new baby right now, but I'm also kind of looking forward to.
Yeah, it's a new season of life.
A new season. And I'm not saying we're done forever, but maybe a little break.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so funny. We kind of are the same way. I feel like for a while we were like, you've been pregnant more than not in our marriage. Like, we don't know how to be married without a pregnancy or a new baby. And we're kind of in that same, we've been in that break. This is our youngest is 18 months old, and it's the longest we've gone without having another baby. And I'm like, okay, it's time. I'm ready for another baby.
Bring on the babies.
Yes, all the babies.
Yeah. And in my prior career, I was a high school English teacher. I taught high school English for 4 years. I loved it, but and this is kind of going into how I got started and all of that, but so just stop me if I need to, but I was one of those weird people who knew exactly what they wanted to do when they grew up. I played school in the basement. I had my own classroom. I spent my allowance at the teacher supply store because my mom was a teacher. I would play in the basement with my American Girl dolls. Like, that was my fun. And so I went to college, became a teacher, thought I would teach forever, and really, truly did love it. But when my first was born, which would have been, I was pregnant my second year of teaching, I kind of started to have these doubts, like, yeah, I don't want to put her in daycare. Like, that's a whole nother topic of my paycheck barely covered daycare. Mm-hmm. But at that point, it was my husband and I looked at everything and he's like, we just got married. We just bought a house. Like, you talked me into buying the house at the top of our budget. You're working. Yeah. And so she's like, okay, fine, whatever. But when she was born and I was holding her in my arms, I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. But I had to, because we like needed my income. So it was such a very, very difficult spot to be in. Mm-hmm. She was born in June. I got to stay on maternity leave until September, and she was 3 months old and had to put her back. And so that's kind of what led me to figuring out what I could do outside of teaching so that I could be home with her. Because no matter how much I complained, stomped, screamed in conversations with my husband, we wouldn't have been able to be a one income family unless we sold the house we just bought, mm-hmm. like sold a car, and just really cut down on all the on all the like tiny little luxuries we had. Because yeah. I mean, we were young, got married, got pregnant right away.
Yeah. So you now have since changed your career. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So, I now no longer teach in the classroom, and I also am no longer a freelancer. So kind of long story short, and I'm sure we'll kind of get into the details a little mm-hmm. bit more, but I got started as a virtual assistant while I was still in the classroom, kind of built my business on the side, and it quickly took off. I was able to quit my job, and shortly after I had quit my job, and even as I was building my business and still kind of doing both on the side, in a local mom Facebook group here in Kansas City where I live, every day someone would be asking, like, I want to work from home. I don't want to join an MLM. Like, what are my options? And I just mm-hmm. naturally started helping them and quickly became known as the lady who can help you work from home without joining an MLM in this one teeny tiny Facebook group in Kansas City. And it just kind of snowballed one day. I had quit my job. It was August. And so many people, someone posted it and I gave my normal spiel. By this point, I had it copied and pasted in a Google Doc because I was just like, yeah. it happens every day, like copy, paste. Yes. But this, for whatever reason, there were so many people that were DMing me and like, can you help me? Can you help me? That I was like, I can't do this. I can't help everyone at once. Mm-hmm. Like, I have kids, I have clients. This is insane. Yeah. So I started a Facebook group where I could just help everyone at once. And then it quickly was like, oh my gosh, all of your clients have these online courses. You now know how to do this online business side because you've been working with them for over a year. And you know how to teach, and you know how to teach these people how to do something that they want to do that you've done. So it quickly transpired about 5.5 years ago into an online course where I started helping and now help other moms build a freelance business. And that's kind of what I do now.
That's amazing. So how did you learn about freelancing? Because I feel like even still, it's not a super popular thing, or it's kind of one of those things where people know what it is, but don't know how they can do it for themselves. So how did you even get into that world of freelancing?
So I learned about freelancing. It was, I like still remember the exact day, the conversation, the exact person, where I was standing, all of the details, because it was truly such a pivotal moment for me.
Yeah.
It was Christmas break when my daughter was like 6 months old, and I was like literally at my lowest at this point because I wanted to be home. I at this point had tried a couple other things to make money. I tried a bow business. I tried making and selling cookies and cakes. None of those worked. I almost joined an MLM, but I'm a homebody. Like, that was back when parties were in person. Mm-hmm. And yeah. it wasn't going to be the best fit for me. And so we were at Christmas at my husband's parents' house. And I was talking to his cousin who also had a baby. And the conversation always turns to like, oh, how's work? Like, what are you doing? Are you going to stay home? And she asked me, and I was just like, it's not good. Like, I'm miserable. Yeah. I'm trying to figure out what I can do to leave the classroom. And she was like, oh my gosh, you should do what I'm doing. I found clients on this website, hiremymom.com, And it was basically just like a job board where mm-hmm. you could go, companies go and post independent contract positions specifically for moms to do in their free time. And she was like, told me all about the website, what she was doing. She was doing email inbox management and like placing orders for a ceramics company in New York.
Wow.
And was making $20 an hour. And I was like, oh, that's incredible. Like, that is exactly what I want to do. So I went home, got on the website, paid for the subscription, and started applying to anything and everything that remotely sounded interesting. And at that point, I still really didn't know it was called freelancing or that it mm-hmm. was this huge world of opportunity. And it, like, you're right, it still is. I call it like a hidden gem
or the best kept secret. Yeah.
And I'm trying so hard to make sure that all moms know what it is and that they can, no matter their experience, no matter their background, they can get started doing this if they're looking for or need a way to support their family, make an income and have like flexibility to be the mom that they want to mm-hmm. be. And I mean, that's going to look so very different for everyone.
Yeah. So a lot of the listeners of this podcast, I think, are in that place that you talked about. Like, I mm-hmm. always knew what I wanted to do. I always, you know, knew I wanted to be a teacher, or knew I wanted to do XYZ. And then I became a mom and everything kind of changed. And I realized I don't want to put my kids in daycare. I don't want to, which for some people, they want to do that and they want to continue their career. But I think a lot of moms get to this place where it's like, well, if I'm going to spend my entire paycheck on somebody else being with my kid all day, I might mm-hmm. as well just be with my kid all day. I think there's a lot of the listeners in this community who are in that place. Can you speak to kind of what that season was like for you?
Yeah.
And just speak to that for us for a minute.
Yeah. Well, I think we're kind of fed this lie that there's two options and it's very black and white. Like, either you're a working mom and you work mm-hmm. out of the home and you make an income and your kids go to daycare, or you're a stay-at-home mom and you're at home 24/7 and you don't make an income.
Right.
But the reality is that so much has changed in mm-hmm. just, and even before like the internet and all of that there were always ways that women were resourceful and earning mm-hmm. an income from home on the side. But with the internet and social media, there's all of these new ways to work. And it doesn't have to be this black and white. Like, you truly can craft. I know it sounds cheesy and very vague, but like, you can craft your dream life. If you mm-hmm. only want to work 3 hours a day, 15 hours a week max, mm-hmm. like, you can do that. If you want to work just 5 hours a week, or if you want to work full time, like as a freelancer, meaning 40 hours plus a week, like, mm-hmm. you can, whatever you want that to look like, it can happen. My motivation for starting was I want to be home with my kids. I don't want to have to put them in daycare. I don't want to pay for daycare. So I worked as a freelancer early mornings, 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. I call this a nap time hustle. I only worked when my kids were sleeping, really, mm-hmm. in the beginning. So 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. right there, that's 10 hours a week, Monday through Friday. And then I could do the nap time when they were younger mm-hmm. and still took consistent naps, like 1 to 3. There's 20 hours of time a week.
Right.
And you can make a really good income with 20 hours a week.
Yeah, for sure. I think there's a big misconception too now with the age of social, with the age of social media, it can be easy to feel like, oh, if I want to make an income online, then I need to become an influencer and build this brand and get paid content. And that's the only way to do it, or make myself into this brand or start XYZ. But it's so interesting. And that's why I love kind of, I guess, raising awareness or just spreading the word about freelancing, because it's like, you don't have to build a brand or have your face out for the world to see or be posting your family all over your social media if that's not what you want to do. Like, there are options for every type of personality. There are options for every type of woman and every season and every type of family. And I love what you said about how women have always been resourceful and finding ways to make money. And we see that all the way back to the Bible. Like that, it's like, it's, yes, our work is in our home, but that doesn't mean that we don't have another calling or another thing that we need to be doing. Like we see in Proverbs 31, she was always finding ways to bring in resources for her family. And she was caring for her family and caring for her children, but she was also making things and going to the marketplace. And sometimes it was like, you make money by saving money. And sometimes it was, I'm going to sell some things. And so I just, I think that, like you said, like it's not option A or option B. It's not black and white. There are so many, so many options for women, especially now.
Yeah. And there was one thing you, when you were talking about like the influencers and like that seems now, oh, you want to work from home or you want to start a business, become an influencer. That is an option. And it,
you
can make a great income there. I've worked with and talked with a lot of people that have tried that route. And the thing, just to make a kind of a comparison of like, okay, freelancing versus influencing, you can do both. If you want, like influencing takes a long time to build up to where you're making something remotely near a full-time income. To build that following and to build that trust. And that just takes time, energy, and in some cases, some money. Whereas freelancing, and like, I will be honest, I was not the type of person to ever want to be on social media, put myself out there. When I was doing virtual assistant and social media management work, I never posted about it on my business. But it was when I was like, I want to help other moms that I was like, okay, if I want to do that, I'm going to have to talk on social media, share my face. I'm willing to do that because getting this message out there is so important. But, and so with freelancing, like you could get started making money with just one client really, really stinking fast. Like in a week, in 2 weeks, a month, like it's, it can happen super fast. And like, so if you're influencing or you're making money from affiliate sales, you would need, I did a email on this the other day of like how much you would need to sell to make what you would like. Okay. So let's just do $1,000. If I needed to bring home $1,000 to my family, I would need to sell, and I made a 10% commission, like $10,000 worth of sales on Amazon a month to earn the $1,000 commission. Or I could land one freelance client and make $1,000. If you're called to influence and grow a platform and grow your message, but you need an income, you can do both. And the other thing of like, oh, with the influencers, who do you think helps and supports the influencers in the background? It is not
freelancers.
Not a walk in the park growing an influencer brand.
Like, no,
there's
it's not.
Many different moving pieces that freelancers can support influencers with and work with them, and they can be your clients.
For sure. I love that perspective that you gave of like you can sell $10,000 worth of sales, or you can land one freelancing client. And that's really like, that's not, I'm going to build up, I'm going to say this far off dream. Like that's like real life, how it really is for everyone, not just it's not like influencing or like network marketing. Nothing wrong with, like we've been saying, nothing wrong with those things, but it's just more of a do a job, get paid. Basically. And it's flexible and you can do it. I mean, I've considered like freelance writing and I'm like, I could write an article or something in after my kids go to bed and then get paid for it. Like very, very simple. And it's like, there's not all of the unknown that a lot of the other opportunities have.
Yeah. And especially like with freelancing, if you're someone who's looking at doing this, at replacing your income so you can potentially quit to have more time with your family and be home, a big consideration is stability and consistency mm-hmm. of income. You can have that with freelancing if you focus on landing retainer clients. So like virtual assistant, social media management, some copywriting, those services, podcast management, Pinterest management, mm-hmm. there's so many different yeah. options. A lot of those lend to being retainer services, which mm-hmm. just means it is a recurring package that a client pays you in advance to retain your services for that month. Mm-hmm. And then you deliver it and you do those services. And as long as it remains a great working relationship between you and the client, that's income you can rely on month in and month out. So if you do land one client at $1,000 a month and then land a second client at $1,000 a month and then a third and a fourth, like you're making $4,000 a month repeatedly, consistently yeah. To support your family. And that's not to say that nothing could ever happen where either a client needs to part ways or you need to part ways with a client. But in that situation, you go from four clients at $4,000 a month to three clients making $3,000 versus, you know, losing a job and going from mm-hmm. cushy salary to zero.
Right. And I think one thing that people need to remember is we really are in the middle of a huge like creator economy right now. And mm-hmm. so there is no shortage of those kinds of jobs right now. And mm-hmm. and there's a lot of creators. There's a lot of online creators who are needing people to, like you said before, support them and take the weight off of them. And so with this creator economy, there's also a huge opportunity for people like us who need those yes. little jobs in the pockets of our days. And it's such an amazing opportunity. And so, yeah, it's like capitalize on it because crazy. There's capitalize. No shortage.
And outside of influencers, if you're like, oh God, I can't stand influencers. I don't want to work with influencers. There's so many other options too. Like we've yeah. seen, there's lots of course creators mm-hmm. That hire freelancers. There's lots of, we're seeing a huge increase in like therapists, chiropractors,
okay.
any naturopathic, like medical type
yeah.
doctor, spa, med spa, estheticians who are cash-based and self-pay, kind of mm-hmm. their own business owner. They're not gotcha. Working at a big corporation. They're hiring freelancers to help kind of support them. Dental yeah. offices, TPT sellers, Etsy sellers, even some in the MLM marketing industry, mm-hmm. those that have
yeah.
grown and have a big team under them, they hire freelancers. Local companies, like local boutiques, any product-based business online, any blogger, every business and every industry has the power to and the space to potentially need to hire a freelancer because yeah. their options are either do everything themselves mm-hmm. or hire a full-time employee.
Yeah.
If in their mind.
Yeah,
but for sure. if they don't have the budget for a full-time employee or the amount of work to keep them busy full-time, mm-hmm. a great option to meet them where they're at is a freelancer, is that mm-hmm. independent contractor.
Yeah, for sure. So I would love to know and for you to take us kind of peel back the curtain a little bit and mm-hmm. and let us kind of see like what is your day-to-day life? What does it look like as a virtual assistant, as a freelancer? Mm-hmm. What would that look like? Because I think a lot of the hesitation is like, I don't know if I could really do that. I don't know if I could really have time. You know, having four clients is like having four bosses kind of thing. And so I would love for you to just peel back the curtain and take us kind of walk us through what the day-to-day looks like as a freelancer.
Yeah. Okay. So let's assume you are full on freelancing. You started your business, you've landed four clients, and you are doing both the freelancing and the momming at home. Mm-hmm. First thing you need to do is kind of figure out, okay, when am I going to work? Look yeah. at your schedule, look at your day-to-day, find the time of where you're going to fit in time to actually work. For me, again, that was 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. Monday through Friday, and then nap time 1 to 3. So I would wake up, my alarm would go off at 5 a.m. I would grab my coffee, go down to my computer, in our dining room, set up shop in there. And I had, so since I had four clients, I had four chunks of like 1 hours that I worked for okay. each day for each client. And so my first chunk A from 5 to 6 was roughly client A. And I would look at my to-do list for that day for that client. And I would just start going through those projects, going through those tasks. And the beautiful thing about being a virtual assistant is truly anyone can get started there. Because you don't have to come to it knowing how to do something already. Your job as a virtual assistant is to be a task doer. Like you get a yeah. checklist and you execute. And your clients will provide training on this is what I need done and this is how I want it done. In most cases, not everyone. Yeah. There are some people that are new to hiring and delegating and don't have all their ducks in a row. But in most cases, someone who's hiring a virtual assistant is going to have like, okay, these are the things that I need done. This needs to happen every day. This is a Thursday, whatever. So when you kind of backing up a little, when you get started working with a client, you'll go through an onboarding process of where you'll kind of just ask them like, okay, what are the daily things that need to be done? They'll show you how to do them. Are there any weekly tasks that need to be done? They'll kind of walk you through and show you that. And then monthly. Mm-hmm. And so I had my kind of checklist in my notebook. Okay. Monday tasks, go through and do those. Sometimes in the moment, there would be other tasks that pop up that the client would ask me to help out with. And I would just kind of fit those in, or increase hours if needed mm-hmm. for them, if I had space and they needed that. But I would just go through client A, here's my checklist. Client B, here's my checklist. Pause. I might get some messages. So then my kids would wake up around 7. I would do breakfast. I would shut my laptop and kind of go into mom mode. Mm-hmm. And we would do breakfast, hang out. If there was anything I didn't get done that needed to get done, like in that work chunk, my kids could independent play while I finished that up. But I really tried to get out and about in the mornings to tire kids so that nap time was going to be yeah. very productive for me. So we'd go out to the park or, you know, a local museum, whatever, mm-hmm. whatever we wanted to do that day, come home, make lunch, and then put them down for nap. And I'd go to my second work chunk. And then they would wake up, shut laptop. If there was anything that didn't need to get done, I still had time in the evening when they went to mm-hmm. bed where I could get stuff done. But, you know, didn't want to fill all my waking time
yeah.
with freelancing and working. And I mean, it kind of sounds boring. It kind of sounds mundane, but for me, that was everything I wanted. I
yeah.
wanted that time with my kids,
mm-hmm.
But I also needed an income. So this was just like mm-hmm. the perfect way for me to do that. And there were seasons where I would take on another client and I needed to work outside those 4 hours a day. And I used the daycare gym. So we had a nice Lifetime Fitness here. I paid for the gym membership. I got 2 hours of free childcare a day per kid. It was $10 a kid per month. And I could go into the cafe there, grab my laptop, and just work for 2 hours while they played and got like some of that interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love what you said about it being mundane. And I think that a lot of times we can look at that as a negative. But one thing that I've noticed as a kind of content creator, like on the other side of the online mm-hmm. business world, is that as a mom, especially in these early years of motherhood, I don't have the capacity to be doing creative work all the time. Mm-hmm. And so those like task type jobs, that's just like check off a task, do the work. It's not like deep work, like writing a blog post or, you know, yeah. hashing out all these things. It's just checklists can be really appealing to a lot mm-hmm. of people because it's like, I don't want to have to really think. I want to just be able to do this job and yeah. and get paid for it. And so that's another yeah. thing I love about freelancing is like a lot of times, and virtual assisting especially, is a lot of times, like you said, it's just checking off the checklist mm-hmm. and you don't really have to fully think about it. Yeah.
Yeah. If you have a checklist for your, in your day to day as a mom and you get those things done, like you can be a virtual assistant. And what is so cool about starting as a virtual assistant and also in this freelance space is the capacity for growth. Mm-hmm. I got started as a virtual assistant. I charged $20 an hour for my very first client. By the end of kind of when I transitioned away from doing client work and into moving into the online course creation side of things, I was charging $50 an hour, charging packages, and I had moved away from virtual assistant into digital marketing and social media management. And so you can, I got a taste of so many different things as the virtual assistant, to whereas some people might love more of the nitty gritty back end, like checklist things. I hated that. I loved using the creative side.
Yeah.
I loved being able to like write a post, make a plan for my clients, whatever their business was, like making their Instagram strategy and then implementing it. I loved that side of thing. So when you get, but I didn't know I would like that in the beginning because I'd never done it. So when you get started as a virtual assistant, you'll get exposure to so many different things and projects and really get to find out what you love, learn so many new things to where then you can take that and continue to grow and develop your business. Like there truly is no limit in freelancing and starting a service-based business. I know lots of times, especially if you're scrolling Instagram and all, there's all the reels coming up. It's like the only way to make six figures is to launch a course or be an influencer or sell digital product. Like you can, it's pretty dang easier and a lot less overhead as a service-based business.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's not just one way.
Yeah. And I think that it's important to remember when we're scrolling is like the people saying those things, that's how they're earning their money. So they have to, they have to say that.
And it's not that
they're, it's not that they're being inauthentic, but it's just, it's how they're, it's sales, it's marketing, it's how it works. Yeah. But I just, I think that the really awesome thing about freelancing is, like you said, the exposure to all these different things. Like you didn't know that you would enjoy the creative and the posts and all of that. And it led you into the current business that you have now, helping other women do this. And I think that that's something that can happen kind of not intentionally, is we can, freelancing can actually lead you into your next thing. You might become a podcast producer and realize, wow, I really want to start a podcast. And this is totally doable. Like that's one thing. When I started this podcast, I had no idea how easy and simple it was to just start a podcast. And so things like that, where you can be exposed to something where you're like, actually, I want to do this for myself. Yeah. And I just love that it is an opportunity that can lead you into so many more opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've talked to some people that they do have that passion of like, I want to help educate people on, I don't know, some parenting style. It takes time and energy and money. So some people use freelancing to fund their passion business as and grow their skill set along the way. There's just, it's really cool to see all the different options and ways people kind of start and how they're able to grow it into what they want, what fills them up, and their calling.
Yeah. I know that we've talked a lot about freelancing, and I hope that we've painted the picture of how broad of an opportunity it is. But I would just love for you to give us some insight. How do we know if freelancing is right for us? Like if somebody's listening and this is intriguing, but they're really not sure if this is the right fit, how do you know if freelancing is right for you?
So it's really hard to know until you try, right? Like with anything, you're never going to know until you try it. But like thinking, if I could answer that more from the perspective of who's successful in this. And I think there's some like strengths and skill sets and or personality traits that I see in a lot of people that have started and gone on and been successful. Because there's been some people that are like, oh, I want to do this. And they start and then they just stop. Mm-hmm. So a couple of traits that I see, first of all, if you want to, if you have a desire to start a business and you want to freelance, you're like, this sounds like what I've been looking for. You can do it. Mm-hmm. It's right for you. But especially if you have like some of the traits of, if you're creative, and you don't have to have all of these, I'm just going to give an assortment of like, yeah. here's some strengths. If you have one of them, that's enough to run with. If you mm-hmm. have all of them, like you better get started. Yeah. If you're creative, like you can get started as a social media manager or a writer. If you are that checklist doer, like you love just checking things off, that's a sign that you can do this. If you are a problem solver, like so much of what I do or what I did back in the day was just problem solve. Clients would come mm-hmm. to me and be like, hey, I want a way to do X. Can you figure that out? I would just go to Google and like start looking yeah. for answers and say, hey, this is what I found. Is this what you want to do? Yes, let's do that. And then I would go do it for them. And now I have my own team, and that's too, like, so much of what I message them. I'm like, hey, how do we do this? Can we do this? I want to do this. Mm-hmm. What does that look like? And they go and research and figure it out. They don't know how to do it exactly yet, but they're problem solvers. Mm-hmm. I was a natural problem solver. And so for me, that was such an easy transition into getting started freelancing. If you're someone who can take initiative, if you're really going to need to be able to self-manage, that's not mm-hmm. the right word I'm looking for, but like, there's no boss telling you,
right?
I mean, you do have clients, but they're not technically like your boss.
Yeah.
So you have to come each day with the desire to show up and work and get things done versus mm-hmm. someone like walking in, checking in on you, sort of thing. So you do got to have that. What is that called? I'm going blank.
Self-starting. Yeah.
Yeah. What a, that whole thing.
Be a self-starter. I think we get
yeah.
that. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's not like any specific, like, oh, you can only do this if it's, mm-hmm. if you want it and you're willing to try, it can be for you.
Yeah. I would love for you to share just some encouragement for mm-hmm. that mom who's listening, who is like, yes, I do want to do this. This sounds like exactly what I'm looking for. Because like I shared earlier, there's a lot of women in this community who are in that spot of, I want to stay home. I want to be with my kids, but we can't go without my income. And yeah. I think it's more common than we realize. Like, I think more families than not are in that, are in that spot.
Uh-huh.
And so I would love for you to just share some encouragement, some first steps. Like, here's your step yeah. one when you walk away today, for that mom who's in that spot.
Okay. So step one, if you're like, this is what I'm going to do, mm-hmm. I'm happy to break down like what someone needs to do to get started and land that first client.
Yes.
If that,
yes.
if you think that would
break
be
it
helpful.
Down for us. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I kind of teach how to get started freelancing from a multi-phase process. Like first phase, mm-hmm. phase one, you need a solid foundation for your business. There's some things you need to do. You need to figure out what service you're going to offer. Are you going to offer a virtual assistant, social media, you know, figure out which one you want to start with.
Mm-hmm.
Figure out how much you're going to charge. Hourly is the easiest way to get started. And entry level hourly rates can be anywhere from $25 to $35 an hour. Just because you're brand new to freelancing, though, doesn't mean you're entry level. If you have some experience like doing marketing, maybe your hourly rate is more around $50. Mm-hmm. If you've been doing marketing for 10 plus years, maybe you're more at $100 an hour. There's just kind of a range there. But figure out how much you're going to charge. Figure out who you want to work with. So we kind of gave a ton of different options at the beginning of this episode of who's hiring. Think about who you would want to work with, mm-hmm. Who you could best help, and kind of narrow down that ideal client. those are kind of the basics of solid foundation. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, you'll want to kind of start to develop a brand for yourself, not a brand that you have to grow on Instagram, but like some colors, a business mm-hmm. name. I just use my name because it was stinking easy. business name, brand colors, fonts, like make a logo. You can do all of that yourself in Canva. Mm-hmm. So you have your brand, have a digital portfolio kind of to start your online presence, make a digital portfolio. You can do that in Canva as well. And it's kind of like a resume, but a mm-hmm. little bit more visual. So tell us a little bit about yourself. Your services will be on there. If you have any testimonials, you'll add those there. How to get on a call with you is there on your portfolio. So online presence. Then you kind of got to figure out, okay, you got to come up with your strategy. Once you have that solid foundation, in addition to setting up that solid foundation, you'll also want a way to send invoices, send contracts. And there's software for that, like Dubsado or Honeybook are great options. Dubsado is a little bit more difficult to learn, but they have a free version for your first three trial or your first three clients. So get that all set up and then come up with your strategy. Hmm. Who do you want to work with? And you're like, how are you going to find clients, right? Because you can't just build a solid foundation and then people come to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to go out there and find clients. So that's a difference. I mean, and you do that when you're looking for a job too, though, right? Mm-hmm. Like you're going out there and interviewing and putting yourself out there. It's just a little bit different from the freelance perspective. A lot of where you'll go though, you'll want that to depend on who you want to work with. So let's say you want to work with influencers. Lots of different ways to land influencer clients, but you'll want to think about where are they hanging out. They're hanging out on Instagram. Maybe if you're in a town where there's lots of influencer local meetups, maybe they're there. Maybe there's like Facebook groups where influencers are talking and connecting. There's lots of different ways. Another mm-hmm. way is just direct outreach too. So kind of in figuring out your strategy, explore the different ways to land clients and then pick the route that's going to make the most sense for you, what you're comfortable with. And then commit to taking action. So phase one, solid foundation. Phase two, create your strategy. What are you going to do daily to connect daily or, you know, every other day mm-hmm. to connect with potential clients? Job boards are another. And then phase three is just take action.
Yeah.
Like commit to doing that. Commit to doing what you say you're going to do. And that action that you commit to doing should be something that puts you in a place to connect with that potential client. So if it's Facebook groups, like going into the Facebook group where the influencers are hanging out, becoming known, talking to them, answering questions. I mean, we could go into how to land clients and all the different routes if you wanted, but there's Facebook groups, direct outreach. I mean, you could start with just reaching out to those influencers or businesses that you already follow and just type up a simple email that's like, hey, Michaela, I've been following you for a while, blah, 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 blah. Anyways, I'm just reaching out because I wanted to see if you have a virtual assistant on your team, someone who's supporting you in the back end doing XYZ. If not, I would love to maybe chat about what that could look like if you are open to hiring in this year. Because that's such a low pressure way to reach mm-hmm. out to someone.
And yeah.
I have a student that I just worked with in the past couple months. That's what she did. Mm-hmm. She had a baby in November, started reaching out to influencers that she wanted to work with that she followed into January, had her first client in February. And then by March, she had four clients or three clients had to turn one away and is like at a really good spot for now.
Wow. I love that you shared that because that was going to be my next question was like, okay, when somebody goes through these phases and really commits to them, how long from, you know, ground floor, starting, mm-hmm. building the foundation, how long does it normally take to land that first client?
Yeah.
For a lot, so, for your students.
Yeah. So like I do have a course. It is not the only way, like it is not a prereq. You could take my podcast and or other resources and just like go build your business on your own. There's no mm-hmm. requirements to do a course at all. Though, but going through my course to build your solid foundation that way, it'll take about 15 to 20 hours to go through that and implement in entirety. And then from there, and you have your solid foundation from moving into phase three, and starting to consistently network and reach out to potential clients each day, I say, give yourself 30 days of consistent networking to land that first client. And so by the end of those 30 days, I've run these challenges as part of my course. We've tracked those that are 75% consistent, like in those 30 days, in that 30-day challenge mm-hmm. to land their first client or next. Most are able to land anywhere from 1 to 3 clients. We've tracked this since May. Those that didn't land a client, and this is all self-reported too, so it's not like 100% exact.
Right.
Numbers, but from what we've tracked with what people have reported, there's only been 10 out of like 800 some that have not landed a client that were consistent.
Wow.
So it really truly is like, yeah. if you have that solid foundation and then you implement it, mm-hmm. you can expect to land a client within 30 days.
Wow.
And if you're not, if you don't, like, it doesn't mean you give up, you throw in the towel. Like if you do decide to work with me or someone else to build your business, they can help you like look at things, mm-hmm. to move forward.
Yeah. I think that's so, gosh, I was expecting longer, truly. Because I mean, I've been in network marketing circles where it's like, give it a year before you really, you know, and I'm like, I don't have a year. Yeah, I need extra money now.
There's so many businesses that need help. And even like local businesses, right now, they're having difficulty finding people mm-hmm. to come into work. And so many mm-hmm. jobs, though, don't need people butts in office anymore. I've had students that will look at like Indeed or something, and mm-hmm. local businesses that are hiring admin or receptionists, mm-hmm. they pitch them and like, hey, are you open to an independent contractor for this role? Here's how I could work with you and help you.
Mm-hmm.
So there's like not a shortage of opportunities. There's so many. So if you just start and let people know, hey, this is what I'm doing, even your personal network,
mm-hmm.
like, start telling people. Yeah. I've had students that landed clients from being in yoga class and telling her friend next to her on the yoga mat, like, hey, I'm getting started doing like virtual assistant and social media stuff. The lady behind her is like, excuse me, what did I just hear? Like, I own this, I can't remember what the business was, but I need help. Can I hire you? And it's like, literally, you just have to share with people.
Yeah.
You could reach out to your personal network, your friends and family, and say, hey guys, I'm starting a business as a virtual assistant. You wouldn't happen to know of anyone who needs help, would you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's just so many. So like, I hope if you're someone who is wanting to do this, need to supplement your income or whatever it is, that you just start reaching out to people.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I am so, so just blown away by all of the knowledge and the information that you've shared with us. And I'm like about to go start my own freelancing business because I'm like, I could use an extra $3,000 or $4,000 a month. Sure. Why not?
I know. My backup plan, if like courses ever go away and all of that stuff, like my backup plan is to go back to doing services.
Yeah.
I would love to go, mm-hmm. like to have an agency in the future, but just with mm-hmm. young kids right now and limited time, it's not what I'm doing currently. Cause I really truly do love helping others do it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, gosh, if I ever like, I'd be back doing that in a second if courses shut down tomorrow. And I would personally go the direct outreach route now. I didn't in the beginning. I never directly reached out to anyone. So you don't have to do that. I landed all my clients in Facebook groups and or the Hire My Mom's mm-hmm. job board. But there's so many.
I love the direct outreach approach as a creator. Like I will get emails or DMs or Facebook messages even of people like, hey, I would love to produce a podcast episode for you. And in exchange for testimony, like that's another thing mm-hmm. that you can do too. In exchange for testimonials uh-huh. when you're first starting out, if you need that kind of thing, I've had a lot of people come to me for that. And then it segues into, and we can chat about working together. If you're looking for a podcast producer, or if you're looking for a virtual assistant or things like that. And absolutely. So I personally am like, and I know maybe not every creator is like this, but for me, I'm like, if you took the time to, like, I know it takes a lot of courage. If you took the time to reach out to me, like, I'm going to give you a chance. And so, and I'm sure a lot of creators feel the same way.
Yeah. And if you're going to do that, though, you have to make the email or the reach out personal to them.
For sure.
If it's in the test I have, because I'll get emails all the time like, hey, do you want to grow your Instagram?
Like, oh, yeah. Those ones I'm like,
and I'm like,
garbage.
If it's a copy paste message. Yeah. If you could copy and paste the same message to another person, it's not personalized enough. It's mm-hmm. not unique enough. Like the person you're reaching out to needs to feel like that you actually took the time to care. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they're going to just delete.
Yeah, for sure. I had one that she was like, I just had a baby and I actually just started listening to your podcast and I loved this and this and this. And it made me go, oh my gosh. Like, first of all, yes, I would love to like work with somebody in my community. Uh-huh. And, I was like, we are already connected. And so, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Like you have to make it, personal mm-hmm. and don't just throw out a copy and pasted email to 50 people and expect anything back. Gone are the days.
If you made a list of 10 people you would love to work with, and spent the time to craft a specific, I mean, you could still have a template that follows like the same flow, but they need to be unique and catered and customized mm-hmm. for each person, personalized enough to where you couldn't send the same email to two people. But it's far worth it to spend the time to do that for 10 people than copy and pasting to 100 people the same message.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I am just so grateful for everything that you've shared with us. And I really hope that if you're listening to this today, that you are walking away with some real tangible steps and an actual idea and something that you could really do if you're in this spot of needing to supplement your income. Michaela, I would love, I know you mentioned you have a course, you mm-hmm. teach students. And so I would love mm-hmm. for you to just share, where can we connect with you? How can we learn from you? Give us all your info.
Yeah. So my website's just my name, MichaelaQuinn.com. I'm on Instagram. I have a podcast, tons of free resources. Before you would jump into like the paid course, I think it's a good idea to maybe take a step back and just fully kind of learn what freelancing is and decide mm-hmm. like, is this something you're willing to commit to? I have an email course that'll walk you kind of through what freelancing is, how to get started in a little bit more detail. It's at MichaelaQuinn.com/listener. You can grab that there. And then if you're like, this is, and you want to jump into the course, you can do that there. But everything is on my website, podcast, Instagram. I'm active in my DMs. Come say hey. And also open. So if you have any questions, don't ever hesitate to reach out.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. If you are interested in freelancing, if you're curious about freelancing, virtual assisting, all the things, Michaela is your girl. She's helping so many moms go full-time, not just get started and then leave you high and dry, but actually see you through, and she will help you. She will hold your hand. And go be a part of her community, go be a part of her student community, and go learn from her and build that dream that you have in your heart. Like it was placed in your heart for a reason. You have a dream of being home with your kids for a reason, and you can do it, and you can see that dream to the other side. And if you feel like freelancing is the thing that's going to get you there, Michaela will help you do it. 100%.
I'd be honored.
So thank you. thank you so much for coming and teaching us and just opening up our eyes to the amazing opportunity that freelancing that's available through freelancing for us.
Absolutely.
After Michaela and I recorded this interview, we really did not want you to walk away empty-handed. So if Michaela's story sounds a lot like your current reality and you're sitting there wondering how you can get started in the world of freelancing like today, Michaela has a freelancing crash course that she wants to share with us. It's completely free and will walk you through the beginning steps of how to start a successful, scalable freelance business so that you can walk away today and start building out that freelance business and start working towards financial freedom for your family. I truly can't say enough good things about Michaela and the work that she's doing to help moms start businesses. And if you are looking for a way to make staying at home with your kids possible, my biggest piece of advice to you is soak up everything that Michaela has to offer. That crash course is linked in the show notes, and again, it's completely free, and I would highly encourage you, if freelancing is at all intriguing to you, start with that free crash course. It's linked in the show notes for you, and I cannot wait to hear how it blesses you. If you found value in today's episode, the best way to thank me is by going to Apple Podcasts and leaving a written review. This helps me stay encouraged, but it also pushes this podcast out to more mamas that desperately need to hear about the joy and purpose that is readily available to them. So thank you in advance for being a part of this community and helping me get this message out to as many people as possible. You mean so much to me, and I can't wait to chat with you next week.